Thank you, brother. Thank you, musicians. Please take your Bible. Turn with me to the book of Job and chapter number 12. This was our text last Sunday morning, and we will go back there again this morning as we need to look at another side of this coin that we spoke about last Sunday morning, Job chapter number 12. I believe that many of you are here in a valley of decision and many areas of your life, and I pray that God will give you some biblical instruction and direction today. Job chapter 12. Look with me in verse 7 and verse number 8. The word of the Lord says here, "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee." Isn't that an interesting statement? When Paul was preaching at Lystra, he even said that our God, our great God, that he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with gladness. God has, through creation and through his creatures, bore witness of his good hand upon our lives. And those creatures have been placed before us, not only for us to dominate, but also for us to learn some things from them. And you'll notice in verse 8, "Speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare it, declare unto thee." Now, quickly, turn to Proverbs chapter 27. If you would, a few pages to your right, a couple of books to your right, you'll find chapter 27, verse number 8. I would like to look at another side of this verse. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 8. I'm reminded of something that is said also in the New Testament about nature and about earth. In the New Testament, Paul made a statement like this. He says, "Doth not nature itself teach you?" Isn't that an interesting statement? Now he goes on to say, "Doth not nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair?" And in that passage, he's talking about that nature teaches you that there should always be a distinction between a male and a female, regardless of what kind of creature that it is. So here we have in chapter number 27 and verse number 8, we have the bird. He says, and I mentioned this last Sunday, if you were not here, let me just remind you just of a couple of things, and then we will move forward. Verse 8, "As a bird that wandereth from her nest," it says, "so is a man that wandereth from his place." Last Sunday morning, I spoke to you about the value of your place and how that creatures can teach us some things about that. Even if you're here this morning and you would be considered by the people that know you, because you probably wouldn't see this in yourself, but if you are a lazy person, if you are a sluggard, a slothful person, as the Bible would describe you, and I promise you, you don't see yourself as that. But the Bible says that the creature that you should go to is the ant. He says, "Go to the ant, consider her ways. Be wise." That's just simply showing some initiative. Now, some wouldn't shouldn't have to pull you out of the bed by the heels of your feet and try to drag you out of bed to get going in the morning and being in your place and doing. You know, there's a great danger in loving sleep. Did you know that? It will hurt you in your life if you love sleep. Now, you need sleep, but you can't love sleep. You need money, but you can't love money. You see what I'm saying? And so you got to be careful about those things. So here in verse number 8, the Bible says, "As a bird that wandered from her nest." So it's obvious here that God has divinely designed this bird to build a nest, and she has no doubt some valuable things in that nest, and she is to stay close to that nest and protect it, because if she does not, she is not only going to expose herself to danger, predators and fowlers and snares, but also something is going to invade her nest and take her children or her babies or her eggs from her. And so there's a great value in that bird staying in her place. Sometimes our society intimidates our dear ladies thinking and tries to move them out of their place, devaluing their place in their home. But I want to focus here about the man. It says, so is a man that wandereth from his place, from his place. I think there are two major areas for all of us in here. Two major areas by divine design that we have to stay close to and not wander away from. One side of that coin is our house. The other side of that coin is his house. And if you're going to be what you are designed to be, you have to have a place and stay in your place in your house. And you're going to have to get in his place and stay in his place at his house. Now, both of those houses are going to greatly impact every and permeate everything that we do. And if you stay in your place, you are going to permeate and impact your house and this house. So let's look at some things in the scriptures here. First, let me just remind you a few things about your house. Because what goes on at your house is going to impact what goes on at this house. And what goes on at this house is going to impact your house. So we need to make sure that what's at your house is in place. And then do you even know how it's supposed to look at his house? So that you'll know that everything is in place when you visit or you watch or you go or you attend. Do you even know how it's supposed to look in the house of the Lord? All right, because a lot of folks have got some weird ideas about what a home should be and what a church should be. And if you don't have a biblical knowledge of those, your mind's going to be warped and you'll never be what God intended for you to be. When we talk about our house, do you agree with me that nature, the earth, you've heard the statement that nature abhors a vacuum? You ever heard that statement? And if you were to pull some water out of the ocean, guess what's going to happen immediately? It's going to fill back up. And when something is out of place, something's going to take its place. Okay? So when we talk about that, God has designed man to lead his family. And when he leaves that position of leadership, it's going to be filled. Somebody's going to take its place. Things are going to break down. Everyone's going to be impacted by it. And I just want to take a few minutes on this because I don't want to deal with this again today. But please, please, please hear me. Passive men produce progressive women by nature. They're going to step up, which produce pampered children. Now, Isaiah said that the reason why Israel broke down and God judged them, and one of the signs of that was there were men in that area that were being exhorted to show themselves to be men, and they were making statements like this. And according to Isaiah 3, verse 7, they said, make me not a ruler. Make me not a ruler. Now that means don't put me in charge of anything. Don't give me any responsibilities. And certainly don't hold me accountable. Now that, my friend, is a passive man. That is a passive man. Now the result of that is, he said, for my children are their oppressors. In other words, the children began to act out. They behave themselves proudly against the ancient. You'll see it when a man is passive, that his children lack respect for their elders. They don't know how to say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. They don't know how to open a door. They don't know how to behave themselves at a restaurant. It is not the child's fault. It is that passive father. And then the progressive woman that steps up, the feminicity, or should I say the femininity of men and the masculinity of women in our day and age in which we live. He said that the women would rule over them. In other words, he went on to say that they would become soldiers in their country. Read it, Isaiah 3. They would become soldiers. Men should be soldiers. Women would become soldiers. And they would become judges. And they would become prophets and preachers. And while you're blaming them, they're filling a void because of passive men. He said they would become leaders. And he also said that there's a way that a woman acts out, like children do. He said it will show out in their attitude toward their husband and in their apparel. Read Isaiah 3. They become bold in their apparel. They want to attract others to look at them and to appreciate them. Read again the Word of God. It is because, again, of passive men. I, as a pastor, should never have to speak to you about whether or not your wife or your daughter is dressing modestly. As a man, you should see that before you walk out the door. You say, well, I just don't want any conflict. That's because you're passive. You're passive. And you're out of place. You say, I don't appreciate that. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you those things. And it's not easy to be a man in our environment these days, but it never has been, by the way. In today's environment, if a man shows any anger at all, he's considered toxic. If he shows any aggression at all, he's considered toxic. If he admits that he's afraid of something, he's considered weak. If he sets boundaries, he's considered insecure, legalistic, and overbearing. If he expresses emotions, he's soft. If he hides his emotions, he's considered heartless. Do you understand? You're not going to please anybody. Just show yourself to be a man and lead and stay in your place in this particular area. But I want to talk primarily today about his house. Boy, I tell you, I need you to trust me when I get... Let me just show you what the Bible says. I'm not going to ask you to trust me. I'm going to ask you to trust the Bible. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. Turn there real quickly. Let's look at these passages, and I'll show you some things about his house. Now, I got to say some things about this before we look at chapter number 5. His house. There is a divine design for my house. There is a divine design for your house. One nest is connected to the other nest, and men must not wander from their place in either one of those houses. For some of you who might be here today with this attitude, I hope not. But for those of you who watch online, we have over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube that watch our services at different times. And probably out of that 100,000, there might be a few out there that consider that they do not need a local assembly. And so they find peace and happiness by watching and only watching services at home. I'm not talking about people who can't make it to a local assembly. Thank God for the fact that when we are ill and we are sick or we are locked in or whatever, that we can watch from afar. We are not to supplement the house of God. We are to complement the house of God. Talking about online. Okay? So let's talk about that for just a moment. Don't float around. You need a church. You need a local church. Do you read your Bible? Do you believe your Bible? Concerning the local assembly, you say, well, I'm part of the body of Christ and I don't have to go anywhere and I don't have to be in any particular location. Do you read your Bible? Do you find out that in the book of Revelation that there were seven churches addressed and they were all in seven cities? A local place. The church at Ephesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 18 says, first of all, that's a priority. He says, when you come together in the church, when you come together in the church. Verse 20 says, when you come together, therefore, into one place. So yes, there is a place. You say, that's Old Testament stuff about the house of God. Do you read the New Testament? Did you know that Paul wrote to Timothy and said to him about his behavior and him staying in his place? He said that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. He called the local church the house of God. He said, which is the church of the living God. The, not a, pillar and ground of the truth. In the book of Titus, there was a divine design and order of the church where that you had leadership, which was determined, by the way, leadership in the church in Titus chapter 1 was determined and selected from men who remained in their place at home. And if they did not remain in their place at home, they were removed from leadership at the church. Then there's the membership. And then there is, of course, our relationships one with another. But if you are in a local church, maybe you're looking for a local church. Sometimes you have to do that. Because sometimes you go places or the place you are, people abandon their place and their position, and you have to find a place. Sometimes you have to do that. But somewhere you need to be in your place, in the house of the Lord. So, if so, one of these days, I know that I will have to be replaced. My heart's prayer desire about that is that it would be at the timing that the Lord desires. What would be in your best interest? That's my goal and my desire. I don't want to leave my place too soon, and I don't want to stay in my place too long. I want the will of God, and I pray that you do as well. Now, there's always going to be somebody that thinks you ought to leave sooner. As a matter of fact, they'd be glad you were gone yesterday. And there'll be some who want you to stay because they love you and they like you. And they can't take anybody else taking your place. Both of those sides are wrong. So, when we talk about the house of the Lord, there is that divine design. And that one nest that's connected to the other and that leadership. Do you know what my place is? Do you know what your place is? Would you know order when you saw it in the church house? Those of you watching online, are you able to discern biblically if things are in order? If you walk into assembly and women are leading the assembly, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. If a woman gets up and opens up her Bible and preaches to you, you're in the wrong place because she's out of place. All right, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me show you just a couple of things, and I'm going to try to help you because I think that many of you came here this morning and many of you are probably watching online. And I don't. When I'm preaching, you'll notice that most of the time I don't ever think about people that are watching because I don't want to get caught up in performing. I want to think about you. But this service, this message, is going to help some of those who are watching online to help them find their place wherever they are, whether they be in New Guinea or whether they be in New Mexico or whether they be in New Caney. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to consider how God has designed this. Do you know Because if you don't know, then you're going to have expectations that are not realistic, they're not biblical, and you're going to get frustrated and aggravated and disappointed. And it won't be on us, it'll be on you. And you'll criticize us for unjustly because you have you're thinking wrong about some things. Chapter 5, verse number 1, you'll find here, consider the leadership place, some structure that is at his house. The Bible says in chapter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. What is the responsibility of the elder, the bishop, the pastor, the leadership? There's going to be other elders that participate in this. There'll be one primarily that will be in oversight of it all. If you've got too many chiefs, you're going to have a problem. If you've got too many heads, you wind up with a monster. And the Bible says here in verse number 2, do you understand his priority? My responsibilities and my priorities. And I try to stay in my place, even though I hear over the years, people have told me, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, you ought to be preaching on this, you ought to be teaching on that. And I'm thinking to myself, you have no clue. You really don't understand. It's just from your perspective. It's not that I don't hear what you say. It's not that I don't consider what you say. It's that I consider more about what he says about some things. Okay? So in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you, he said, I exhort. So look in verse number 2. What is my primary duty? It is, according to verse number 2, is to feed you. Did you know that feeding is mentioned before leading? Feeding is mentioned before leading. Because if you feed well, they're more apt to follow well. He says in verse 2, feed the flock of God. Now, that means you're the flock. I'm the under shepherd, you're the flock. That means you need to be in your place and I need to be in my place. So when you pull up in the parking lot and you're on your way to church and you're in the parking lot, you should not have to doubt of whether or not we're going to open up our Bibles and Brother Roger's going to open up his Bible and he is going to give you a meal that he has prepared during the week for you. Now sometimes you step in a restaurant, might be your favorite restaurant, and you order what you want. But you don't eat that every time you go, every meal, do you? And occasionally, there's going to be some meals that you really like. But most of the time, they're going to be meals that you really need. You're going to need all your colors. Is that what they say about food? You need to eat all your colors, and I'm not talking about M&Ms. You understand? You got to have a balanced diet. There's no way that I can please all of you. I wish you'd preach on this. I wish you'd preach on that. I wish you'd teach on this. I wish you'd teach on that. I want to meet every need. But if you come consistently somewhere in those services, the Lord is going to give you something that you need. Something that you need. Need. Feed. Not entertain. Feed the flock of God. That's my primary responsibility. So when you go into a church and you're looking for a church, is that man, does he have the ability to study, comprehend, divide, and articulate the truth? He has to have that ability. It takes more than sincerity. It takes ability. And God gifts that man in his place. And the Bible says here that he feeds, but it says also taking the oversight. That's leading. That's ruling. It's oversight. It's ruling, and it's ruling well. He says not by constraint. Now that means that the preacher cannot be passive about leadership. But willingly. And he also says he cannot be motivated for filthy lucre. You've heard of the word, that job is very lucrative. Every job that's lucrative is not honest. And so he's saying that the preacher cannot be in it to get rich and to make money. That's why he must feed consistently. Because when people sometimes come in and they hear the word of God, sometimes they are offended by truth. Because they are not interested in truth. They're interested in, you know what a lot of businessmen do? When they move into a city or they're transferred, they look for First Baptist Church because that's where the money people are in the city. And it'll help their business. And the pastors will let those men join because they have more money. It's connected. And the motive. It's very difficult for a pastor to lead and deal with a man who gives a lot. But the man who gives a lot needs a pastor just like the man who gives a little. And the Bible says here that he's to lead, but not just to rule, but to rule well. That word ruling well, that just simply means like Solomon, when the Queen of Sheba got there, she saw that not only did he rule, but the people around him had some joy and some happiness in their life. And you as a father, or you as a leader in this church, we're not your little soldiers that you command and direct and put us right in our place. We want to be people who want to be fed, who want to follow. And are happy. Now notice something about this. Look in verse number 3. A lot of my independent brethren, Baptist brethren, do not read verse 3. They take a penknife and cut it out. The Bible says in verse 3, neither is being, what's the next word? Lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. When the chief shepherd, and that pastor has to remember, he is not the chief shepherd. He is to be under his head, the Lord Jesus. And the chief shepherd under him, he is to remember that it is his sheep, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't belong to me. But some preachers feel that way. Now, I do watch over you, and I do feel responsible for you, but I am not your Lord. And the Bible says here, neither being lords over God's heritage. And what does that mean? Well, it means when you go to a church or you look for a church and you get in your place there, that you want there to be balance. You want that man to lead, but you also want him to concede. And that means that I concede to the fact that Brother Brad is the Lord over his family, not me. He is under subjection to the Lordship of Christ, but he is the leader of his family. And I need to know where the line is and not cross over and try to lead his wife, but rather to lead him. To lead his wife. You understand? That's where this is. But there's something else Brother Terry brought up in church history last week, and I know he'll touch on it some more. In the early church, in the book of the book of Revelations, the Lord Jesus was upset with some things that were moving into that church. Some believe that the word Nicolaitan means that that's where the clergy are over the laity. You ever heard that term? Clergy? I don't like being called a clergyman. I don't like being called a reverend. I like being called a brother and a pastor. Now, I've been called a lot of other things. But I think that you understand here. And that's when it began, especially with Roman Catholicism, of where that men began to assume positions that did not belong to them and began to exude authority that was never given to them. And there are independent Baptist preachers that are the same way. They tell their families when they can go on vacation, where they can go on vacation, where they can work, where they shouldn't work. There are all kinds of things that go on in churches that you have no clue. And you know what? I don't want you to know. But I need you to understand something. when it comes to membership, good pastors are sustained by good men. Just like good husbands are sustained by good wives. Because that woman knows her place and she helps him stay in his place. And she defends his place. Now here's what goes on today. You're going to let... Now this goes on in churches and in families. You're going to let him tell you what to do? Men will say that to other men, or women will say that to men in church. You're going to let that preacher tell you what to do? Or women, kinfolks, in-laws and outlaws will say, you're going to let, talking about your husband, you're going to let that man tell you what to do? Put him in his place. Hold on now, just a minute. If you were to say that, if I was a member of this church and you were to say that to me about my pastor, here's my answer to you. And you said to me, you're going to let him tell you what to do? I said, well, let's look at this. Number one, I can do what I want to do. Or number two, I can do what you're trying to tell me to do. Or number three, I can do what the Lord has told me to do. I think I'll choose number three. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do here in this situation. And he's not doing anything morally or doctrinally wrong, and he's trying to lead. I think I'll just try to work with him if I can. Amen. And I think if I was a wife in my place, I'd say, hey, I ain't got a perfect husband, but he ain't got a perfect wife. But I want him to stay in his place. I want to stay in my place. I want to help him. So either I am going to do what I want to do in this situation, or I'm going to do what you're trying to get me to do in this situation. Or I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do in this situation. And guess what? What I want to do and what he wants to do, it's going to be the same. Amen. The Lord. Amen. Well, let's talk about this just a minute. Notice he says in verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage. Because there are people you're going to visit. Listen, there are churches all up and down 1485 and 99 and I-45 and I-59. You don't have to come here. You don't have to come here. And I know that. And I'm thankful that you're here and that you remain. We have men here who have been here 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. I thank God for you. And I thank God for your support and you staying in your place. And when somebody says, man, he's done a good job there pastoring, they have no clue that that is because good men have been buffers between me and some issues and where they have stood in their place and they have stopped this and they have stopped that and they have quieted this and they've quieted that that I've never had to deal with. And what they're looking for is for me to do my job. That's what they're looking for. We're always looking for somebody to give glory to other than God. And we look at a man and say, man, he's got a beautiful family. He must be a wonderful man. And women look at that and say, boy, look at that family. Man, look how happy they are. Man, I wish I was married to a man like that. Have you ever considered the fact that the reason why he's such a good man and that family is so happy is because she helped him be that? Amen. And if he were married to you, it wouldn't be that way? All right, let me help me out just a little bit. Amen, Brother Roger. Because if you don't know how and where your place is, you're like the bird that wanders from its nest. This thing about this, they're talking about membership. What are you supposed to do? Well, we'll look in verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, subject one to another. What does that simply mean? Hey, let's get in our place and let's not be self-willed. Let's submit ourselves to the Holy Ghost. And he says, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And when you are out of place, and when you are filled with pride, what follows that? Contention and division. I'm asking you this morning, are you in your place? At home? Sometimes a woman has to step up because the man leaves his place. I'm talking about Nabal. Abigail had to step up to save her family because he was such a gourdhead, a knothead. I'm going to ask you, are you in your place? As a husband, as a wife, as a teenager, as a young adult, are you in your place? At home? Okay, but what about here? Number one, we're talking about being in his house, okay? The Bible is also referred to as the church as the body of Christ and the church of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and he's not wandering from his place. He is going to be the head of the church. But I want to ask you, are you part of a local church? Are you part of his church? Are you part of the body of Christ overall? And then are you part of a local assembly? Are you working on it? Are you looking for it? Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to be in it? Okay, well, here's how this works. Number one, you have to be in Christ. All right, that starts with being born again. That starts with salvation. You'll never be in place. You'll never be in place at your local church if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must be born again. You must be. You must have a relationship with the head in order to be a part of the body. And when you receive Christ into your heart by faith, then he takes the Spirit of God and he baptizes you into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And he places you into that body as a part and a place for you to be able to be a blessing to that. Now, he likes to use it as the body because every part of me has a place and a function. And every part works together to help me do what I need to do. My hands are in their right place. My feet and my ears and my eyes and my inward parts, all of that are there because that's where God and how he made me. And when you get saved, the Holy Spirit places you into him, and then he brings and gives you something that you can function at, something and graced you for it so that you can do something that will be a blessing to this church or whatever church that you belong to. So you have to ask yourself, am I in Christ? Number two, to really understand this. Now, here's your place. Number one is being in Christ. Now, number two is following him, identifying with him through believers' baptism or water baptism. Water baptism comes after salvation. And what it does is it says that what happened to me in private, I want to declare in public. And I am not ashamed of him. And that I want to be a part of something. Something bigger than me. Something even bigger than my family. Because sometimes your family will forsake you and the people of God will stay right with you. You become of something that your house at home, that's your earthly family. But God will give you an eternal family at the house of God. I'm going to see y'all on the other side. So you might as well start liking me now. Because I am going to see you on the other side. Do you understand this thing about this? It's so, so important. About getting in church. Are you saved? And are you baptized? And are you now in your place looking for a place? You say, well, I don't know what my gift is. All right, just get in there and say, how can I help? Now, this is wrong attitude. You come here and you say, well, nobody doing anything for me. What are you doing for others? What are you doing? Those wise men brought gifts from afar. And when you join the assembly, don't join the assembly to be a parasite. Join the assembly to be able to give. Now, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your spiritual place and gift that God has divinely designed you to be. I promise you, you get in your place, you're going to find grace for your place. You're going to find peace in your place. You're going to find fruit in your place. And you're going to find purpose. Purpose. I watch these men and women work hard week after week after week. And when we start up in September, another year of trying to disciple our young people, I will see mothers and fathers that work hard all day on Wednesday, and they will be in their place on Wednesday night because they simply want to contribute. They want to give. You say, well, I just feel, quote, out of place. Well, I think sometimes we all feel out of place. That's not going to keep me from remaining in my place. Because sometimes it's just me. My mood swings. I can feel out of place. You can feel out of place at home. You say, well, nobody likes me at the house. Well, that could be a reason why. Have you ever started, you ever thought about maybe trying to like other people at home? And the same thing is true at church. Amen? I've always tell people who are interested in joining our assembly, I always tell them this, we are not joining you. You are joining us. We have a plan. We're staying in our place. This is a lighthouse, not a bunker house. This is a place where we come to serve the Lord publicly, but then we go out through the week trying to serve God in privately in our lives. What does the nature and the beast teach us about this? If I leave my family, if I get out of my place as a man or a woman, or as a teenager, I rebel and run away from home. I'm exposing myself to predators. I'm exposing myself to snares and unnecessary risk. But you're also hurting us. Just like you hurt your mom and dad, when you're not in your place, you hurt us. You hurt us. You see, there's a nature within you. Why is it that people leave their place? Well, it's because you've been enticed by something. I'll give you a verse for that. There's a rebel that lives with you. May I correct that? He lives in you. He lives in you. That old nature is at enmity with God. And so God has to put something in you that is stronger. And there is. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We all get sideways. We all get aggravated at home. We all get aggravated at church. I'm going to let you move me from my place. You know what He said? He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away, he's wandering of his own lust, and he's enticed. How do I stay in my place? I'll tell you how, some things that will help you. First of all, you got to find out what is your place. Quit trying to take somebody else's place. Quit trying to be something you're not and not designed to be. I have seen women's health deteriorate. I'm talking about now, I've been at this for nearly 50 years. I've seen women's health deteriorate because a husband was passive and she had to take on pressure and responsibilities that didn't belong to her. And I've seen men almost have nervous breakdowns because the women would not allow him and would always fight him to, in his leadership position, to try to lead the family and always pushing against him and always questioning him and always criticizing him in those areas. But here's something that'll help all of us. When enticements come, It is because lust has exceeded your love. My love for my wife overrides any lust that I may have toward any other woman. Do you understand the difference there? My submission to God and the Holy Ghost will cancel any personal ambition that I may have. My duty to God and to my wife, my son, my girls, my grandchildren, my duty must override any desire that may come my way. My duty. When I begin to acknowledge my blessings of where I am, it knocks in the head every thought of discontentment and murmuring and whining. My commitment to God overrides my enticement. My commitment to my wife overrides any enticement. Do you understand? The prodigal son got out of place. He left his place. Got out of place. Was very, very miserable. And you always will be. But he thought about where he came from. He thought about the place where he once was. And he said in his heart, he had to humble himself and said, I am going back to where I was. I will arise and I will go back to my place. And you know what? The Heavenly Father was glad. His Father was glad because there was an empty place at the table. And he was glad that his son came back and was willing to even go beyond and humble himself, even not even be allowed to sit there, but was willing to just return and to be in his place. I want to encourage you that when you start wandering just a little bit, that you would with all your heart do your very best by the grace of God to say, Lord, I'm out of place. And I know it. Humble yourself and say, God, help me to get back in my place. You understand the importance here? I pray that you do. I got a call from a pastor this week. He was grieving over a situation that occurred not far from him, maybe an hour or so from where he lives. His son happened to be the pastor of that assembly who asked him to come and be the pastor of that church. He was there for 4 years. His pastor's a young man with a beautiful family. Good young man. Good preacher. And this is in North Mississippi. You know, North Mississippi has a couple of football teams. One of them's called Ole Miss. Do you know what they're called? Ole Miss Rebels. And there's a good reason for that, because it seems like most of the people in Mississippi have a rebellious attitude. He was there for about 4 years. When he got there, the church was running about 80 people. They had $8,000 in the bank. 4 years later, they were running 150 people, had $140,000 in the bank. And they renovated their whole building and spent $400,000, and he was able to do it debt-free. They took on missionaries, began to support missionaries. And then there was a difference between him and a couple of men in his assembly and their wives on what they should do with a house that was on the property. They wanted to tear it down. He said, let's turn it into a mission apartment and let's take care of missionaries when they come through. They said, we don't want to spend that kind of money. They said, all right. He said, I'll do it myself. I'll do the labor. And so that young man remodeled that whole house, made it a beautiful place. Spent his own money, his own labor, except he used a church credit card for $1,000 to buy plumbing and electrical equipment to finish the house. Those two men and their wives said, we can't trust you. They stirred up the church and they voted him out as pastor of that assembly. He pleaded with them. He said, he talked to those two men. He said, look, don't do this. He said, don't you know that this daughter that they were been praying for, she was in her 20s and been gotten away from the Lord. She came and got saved. One of those men. He said, don't do this. This is going to impact her. And that preacher said, hey, And then he talked to him. And one of the other guys said, your son just surrendered to preach. He said, don't do this. And they said, they just simply looked at him and said, yeah, these things happen, but only by the grace of God. And that is true. That's one side of it. But the grace of God uses men. He said, don't do this. They voted him out, kicked him out, asked him to leave. They moved to another state, joined a church. That pastor called that church and said, why? We do the same. We always try to check on where you came from to see if there's any issues. It's just good protocol. And they said, was there a moral reason? Was there a doctrinal reason? And they said, oh, no. Man, he was great morally. He was great doctrinally. It said that we just didn't like his personality. How about that? And so when you see a man stay somewhere for 20 or 30 years, he's not staying there 20 or 30 years by himself. When you see a marriage that lasts 40 or 50 or 60 years, he's not doing that by himself. You understand? It's people staying in their place. You have to ask yourself, where am I? Where am I? Am I saved? Am I in church? Am I a blessing? What can I do to serve? How can I be a part of something that matters to God? At home, am I in my place as a man? Am I in my place as a woman? Am I in my place as a teenager? Am I oppressing my parents? Am I a blessing to my mother and father? As a young man, are you showing yourself to be a man? What hurts me, and I'll say it again before we close, I've said it many times, it hurts me to watch a young man grow up in this church, get himself involved sexually with a young lady outside the church, and then they want to come back and act like nothing and everything is fine, and then that girl doesn't like me and she doesn't like you, and so she takes that young man somewhere else because he's not man enough to lead his family. And the bedroom means more to him than the church room. That's pretty plain. You understood it, didn't you? It hurts me when that happens. And when young ladies are drawn away by, enticed by young men who have no interest in following God once they get married. She's a mountain, he's conquered her, and now he's not interested in serving God. And he lied to her. And he lied to her parents. And misrepresented what he wanted to do. Do you understand? Getting in your place, staying in your place that God has divinely designed for you. Let's stand together, please. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. If you're here this morning and number one, you've never been saved, we want you to come to Christ and be born again. If you are a born-again Christian, you've never followed the Lord in baptism, I think you should come to the altar and bow your knee and say, Lord, I will follow you in this area. I will, and I am not ashamed of you. I think you ought to settle that at the altar and talk to me later. Number three, if you are looking for a church or you want to be a part of a church, you need to submit yourself to God and say, Lord, I really want to be in the place. If this is the place, let me know. If it's not, Lord, let me know. Number four, if you are a member of this church, ask yourself, am I contributing to the unity and the harmony and the fruitfulness of this assembly? Am I in my place? Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I pray, Almighty God, your will be done. Lord, I do want to preach with courage. But I want it to be balanced with compassion. I love your children. And I love my family. And I pray you'd help me to stay balanced in all these areas. And help these men and women to do the same. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed. Are you in your place?